Take your Bibles and turn me to Daniel chapter number 6. We've taken most of our reading out of Daniel chapter 6 this morning. I know we have some other preachers in the congregation this morning, and you're probably wanting to preach just about as bad as I am right now. Man, just thankful for the way that the Holy Spirit has showed up this morning, for people being obedient unto the Lord. Looking forward to what God's going to do with the remainder of our service. Again, I ask you just to open your heart and open your mind and listen for God to speak to you. Listen for His Word and for His Holy Spirit. Because y'all know that I'm going to stutter, I'm going to stammer, and probably make mistakes, and y'all have something good to make fun of and laugh at after a while. But I want to tell you something, that God's Holy Spirit is real, and that's what does the work in our church. And I'm so thankful that it's not on me, because I would let you down. There would be a flop, but I'm thankful that God's Spirit that dwells in us is here with us this morning, and that's where all the work's going to come from. If you get anything from this, it's going to be because of Him, and we should give Him glory and worship Him because of that. Thankful for the Spirit that we've already felt by being here this morning. If you will, bow your heads and pray with me, and surely pray for me. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. God, I want to thank you that I'm here this morning. I can't think of anywhere else in this world that I had rather be than right here. Even with my kids playing ball, even with all the other things going on in this world, the riches, whatever, God, I'm just so thankful to be in your presence right now. God, I can feel you. God, I know you're here with us. And God, I ask you just to speak to us through your word. God, I pray that you'll help us, God, as we get into the message this morning. God, I pray that you'll help us to learn from your word. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts, comfort us if we need comforting, convict us if we need convicting. And God, most of all, I pray for there's one here today that's lost. I pray that today will be the day that they come to know you as their personal Savior. God, I want to thank you for my family here at Fellowship. God, I know that in each and every situation here that we're all different, God. We're all going through different things in our life. We're all in different stages of our maturity with you. But God, I pray that you'll just draw us all closer to you, closer to one another, that we may be the church that you would be pleased with. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Very familiar scripture. Actually, a message that I had preached a couple of times, and I don't think I've preached it here. I know some of you have heard this message, but you know what? I don't even have the notes from where I preached it the first time, so hopefully it'll be a little different. But I told James Reese this morning, he was in the office making a couple of copies, that I struggled to preach this message this morning. I felt like God led me in this direction, and I kept saying, you know what, I've preached that before, and some of these people I know have heard it, and I kept struggling with it. But I've heard Stephanie sing those songs before. I've heard the choir sing those songs before, but God still used it to minister to my heart this morning. And why can't we take God's word? And, you know, I even will eat leftover spaghetti from time to time. We warm it up and eat it. Sometimes it's better the second time. So let's just pray that God makes it better the second time this morning. And as we get into Daniel chapter number 6, we're going to begin reading in verse number 16 in just a moment. But in order for us to understand what's going on in verse number 16, I'm going to kind of fill you in on what's happened here before verse number 16. See, the children of Israel are in part of a Babylonian captivity. They've been taken captive. And Daniel has found favor with King Darius. Even though Daniel is captive, even though he's a slave in this situation, he has found favor with King Darius, and King Darius loves him. And as he has grown that relationship with King Darius, the locals have become jealous. They can't understand why King Darius likes Daniel so good. So the locals, they come up with a plan. They know Daniel's life. They know his routine. They know what he does every single day, and they know how to lay a trap for Daniel. Can I say to you that there are people in your life that are jealous of the way that God's blessing your life, the way that you have dedicated your life unto God, and they are laying traps in front of you. They are putting things out in front of you. But can I also say to you this morning that you just keep trusting in God, following in God, and God will take care of those traps along the way too, as we find out here in a minute. But as King Darius, as the locals come to him and say, King Darius, we want to, and they begin to puff him up. They begin to make him proud. And they begin to say, you know what, we think that for the next time period that no one should be able to ask anything of anybody other than you, because King Darius, you're such a great king. You're so wonderful, and we love you so much, and nobody is more powerful than you. So let's make a rule that nobody can pray to anybody other than you, that nobody can ask assistance of anybody other than you. And King Darius, standing there in his proud self, said, you know what, that sounds like a wonderful idea. I believe I'll sign this decree, and I believe that I'll put this into action so that nobody can ask anything of anyone but me. And I'm sure at the moment that King Darius is feeling pretty good about himself, that his people held him that highly, and they respected him that much that they knew that he could take care of all of their problems, and he was the king. But I want you to know, as we continue in the verses after this, that there was a man there called Daniel. And again, Daniel had found great favor with King Darius. And I want you to know that as Daniel heard the decree, as Daniel heard the new rule, the Bible tells us that Daniel went and he prayed to his God three times a day. I mean, he always went and he was praying to God and praying to God. And even once this decree was made, that Daniel continued doing exactly what he had always done. You know what? I want to be found in a place that, you know, we're facing some things in our society now. We're facing some new laws that are coming about. We're facing some new turns that are coming about in our nation. And our nation needs prayer now more than ever. It was brought up in our men's breakfast yesterday morning that our nation needs prayer right now. People are being successful. The financial gain is there. And once again, we are taking our eyes off of God and we're looking to the left. We're looking to the right. We're looking anywhere except for where God wants us to be. And as Daniel is found here in this situation, this rule was made that he couldn't pray to anyone but King Darius. However, Daniel didn't have to change what he was doing in order to remain faithful unto God. Daniel kept doing exactly what he was doing. And what I'm saying is this, is yes, that we need to be in a place that we're willing to take a stand for what we believe in. We need to be in a place that we are standing up as Christians, as believers, following the word of God that he has given us, following the law of God, but I hope that we're not having to change a whole lot just to prove that we're taking a stand. We should be taking a stand in the good times and the bad times and every time of our life. We should be willing to stand on the word of God. And as Daniel is found here, they knew that if they made this rule, that Daniel was going to break the rule. So as we get to verse number 16, Daniel has went. He has continued praying just like he always did. He has continued doing what he always had done. And these locals knew that he was going to do it. And they have brought him to King Darius. And they said, King Darius, we want you to know something. This Daniel, who you think is such a good person, has broken your law. This Daniel that you hold so high, he has went against everything, the decree that you made, he has went against that. So as we come in to verse number 16, we find that Daniel is standing guilty before King Darius. Verse number 16 reads, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now as Daniel is found guilty of breaking the decree, his punishment, his judgment, it is to be thrown into the den of lions. It's not a lion's den. It's not one lion that you're throwing him into his home. They're throwing him into a den of lions that were there for this purpose. And as Darius is looking at Daniel, and I'm sure now that he realizes what has been done. He knows now that these local guys have laid this trap for Daniel. I believe that probably King Darius, even as they brought Daniel to him and said that he has broken the decree and now you must punish him with the punishment that we had set forth, I believe that King Darius at that very moment began to be sorrowful for being so puffed up, for being so proudful. But he had to go ahead and go through with what he had said that he would do. So in verse number 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, and that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. King Darius was tore up. He was upset that he had put Daniel into this place. He was upset that he had put a decree out there that made Daniel guilty. But I want you to notice something. As King Darius made this decree, and as Daniel found himself guilty, and as he is placed there in the den of lions, you know what? I believe that sometimes that we wonder in our lives why God is not doing some of the same things that happened here in Daniel chapter number 6. We hadn't even got to the end of the story yet, but we know what happens. We've all heard this several times, but I want to draw your attention to something that is said in verse number 16. Look, I want you to see what the king said to Daniel at the end. He says, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. I want you to notice that Daniel didn't begin to worship, to honor, to serve God in the den of lions. You know what? I'm afraid so many times that we're so relaxed in our Christian life. We're so relaxed in the assurance of our salvation. We're so relaxed in the way that God has blessed our lives. We're so relaxed in the way that God has provided for us, and we know that we have a home in heaven no matter what. We get so relaxed in that that we don't serve God continually. We look for God once we get into the den of lions. We get so relaxed from day in and day out that our eyes take our focus off of God, that our eyes get to looking at all the things that this world has to offer us. Can I remind us this morning that this world is not our home, that we are pilgrims and strangers here just passing through? Somebody needs to remind me of that very often, because this world is a fun place. God has given us an awesome place. He has blessed us so much. But I want us to know something, that we don't need to wait till we get into the den of lions to look unto God. But I need to be looking unto God right now, so when the den of lions comes my way, I'm ready to say, God, I trust you. I know that you've got this. And he says, Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Let's skip down to verse number 19. King Darius has not been able to sleep all night. He just knows that these lions has tore Daniel up. He just knows that these lions were prepared for destroying. These lions were prepared for killing. I don't believe these were fat lions. These lions were hungry. They were ready to destroy, to kill, to eat, to take the life of anyone who was thrown in. Verse number 19, as King Darius has rose very early in the morning, and he went in haste unto the den of lions. King Darius gets up and he runs out to where he knows that Daniel is in the den of lions. In verse number 20, it says, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice, with a voice of pain, with a broken voice. He knows. He knows what's happened overnight. He knows that he's fixing to cry out unto Daniel just with an empty cry. He cries out with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, I believe it was something like this. O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? I believe that even as King Darius spoke these words, that there was doubt in his mind. I believe that there was a question of whether God really did deliver Daniel from the lions. And as Daniel is down there in the den of lions, I keep wanting to say lion's den, but it's not a lion's den, it's a den of lions. As Daniel is down there, I believe he stretches up and he hears the king's voice. In verse number 21, it says, then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Can you imagine when things look hopeless, when things look like there's no way in the world that it's even possible that Daniel could have made it through the night, that there's no way possible that God could have delivered him from the situation? I mean, we know that we serve an all-powerful God. We serve an amazing God. We serve a God that can change any circumstance in our lives. But do we not sometimes doubt, question, and fear that God will not change our circumstance? Even King Darius, in verse number 16, he says, Daniel, the king, the God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. But I still believe, as it says here, that he went and cried with a lamentable voice, that he had a question, he had fear that that not happened, because he knew that those lions were hungry. He knew what those lions were there prepared for. And what a joy it must have been when he heard Daniel say, O king, live forever, for my God has sent an angel and has shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. As Daniel is down there, he says, O king, live forever. Don't you worry about it. I'm going to put this in my words. Because my God, who I serve, has sent an angel, and he has shut these lions' mouths. They wasn't even hungry. I laid down here and I slept on them all night. I want you to notice how this is worded here at the end of this verse. I don't believe that this is what it's saying, but I believe that we can draw a parallel with this. O king, have I done no hurt? And king, don't worry, I hadn't hurt you lions either. I'm down here with these lions. They haven't hurt me, and don't worry, I hadn't hurt your lions either. God has delivered me from the mouth of the lions. God has delivered me. I served him continually. I knew that he was able. And God, King Darius, you don't have to worry at all, because God has sent an angel and has shut their mouth. Verse number 23, then was the king exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. I want us to look this morning. Yes, we see Daniel in a den of lions here. We see Daniel was doing and serving the God. He was doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. He didn't change who he was. He just continued serving God, and he ended up in a den of lions. He ended up in a place where something could have destroyed him, where something could have torn him apart, took his life. And I want you to know that even today, that there are lions out here roaring, that there are lions out here and they're after us. I want to tell you this morning, as I began to study and pray this week and ask God which direction I should go, that this was the only thing that I could get on my mind. Because text after text this week, phone call after phone call this week, I'm hearing lions. I'm hearing lions that are roaring. I'm hearing lions that are after God's children. I'm hearing lions that are after God's children's family, that are after our church. I'm hearing lions that are trying to destroy what God has done. And I'm not talking about, I don't know of any trouble in the church, but I want to say to you this morning that Satan is out there and he is as a roaring lion. Let's look right here. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I want you to know that Satan is real, that his power is real, and he is seeking to destroy, to devour you. John chapter number 10 and verse number 10. The Bible says the thief cometh but to steal and to kill and destroy. Just as these lions were looking to destroy, just as they were looking to kill, as they were looking to take away the life of Daniel, I want you to know that Satan is the same way. We have an adversary, we have an enemy that is after us. And I don't know about you, but I feel the enemy. I hear the enemy. I hear the roaring lion this morning through text, through email, through phone calls, through talking with people individually, that there are lions that are circling us, that there are lions that are out to devour us, to steal, kill, and destroy from us. But I want to give you a message of hope this morning. I want you to give you a message of hope, a message of encouragement, that even though the lion is circling, even though the lion is roaring, even though the lion is hungry, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy you, I want to tell you that the God that shut the mouth of the lions in Daniel's day is still able to shut the mouth of the lions in our day. That we have a God that we serve that can send an angel and can shut the lion's mouth in our life, and that can send an angel and take care of the things that's in our life. There's so many circumstances going on in our church family right now. Individually, we all have lions that are after us. And those lions are prepared for destroying us, but we serve a God that can shut the lion's mouth this morning. Amen. Old church, I want to ask you this morning. Old church, is the God whom thou servest able to deliver thee from the lions? Amen. He sure is. Man, there are all kinds of lines. There are all kinds of things. Some of you may be dealing with lines of your past. You can't forgive yourself. You have guilt that won't go away. You have people always reminding you of who you used to be, or sometime that you may have messed up, or something that you have done. Satan is always using things in your past against you. There's things in your past that you just can't get over. But can I tell you that even though that line roars real loud, even though that line gets in our ear, and it's just an overpowering roar sometimes, that there's a still small voice that can overtake that. That there's a still small voice living on the inside of you that can shut that lion's mouth. Put your faith, put your trust, put your hope in Jesus Christ, and he will deliver you from the lions of your past. You might be here this morning. You might have lions in your present. Some of us are dealing with lions in our past, but you may be dealing with a lion of your present. You may have a trial or a trouble. You may have burdens or heartaches, disappointment, failure, temptations, hurt, loss, sickness. Man, there's so many situations. Again, text after text, email after email, whatever it is, that lion is loud. Man, he's roaring. Some of you are going through things right now in your life that you never thought you would go through, that you never saw coming. Hey, a couple of weeks ago, I had to go and help a friend at another store and do his inventory. He called me that morning. He said, I have a family emergency. I'm not going to be here. Please handle everything for me. And God laid it on my heart to text it back to him. And I said, you know what? A family emergency is still no surprise to God. Whatever you're going through right now, it may be a surprise to you. It may be a lion that's roaring in your life, but God knew you were going to be walking here before you were ever born, before you ever come to this place. God knew that you were going to be here, and God is able to deliver you from the present lion that's in your life. One day, this shall come to pass. I told on Wednesday night, we were talking about things coming to pass. Sometimes they pass like kidney stones. Sometimes it's hurtful. Sometimes it's harmful. Sometimes you don't think it's ever going to happen, but whatever's taking place in your life, it will come to pass. And again, God can send his angel and shut the lion's mouth. Don't let that lion be overpowering in your life. Don't let the troubles and the trials and the heartache that you're going through, the loss or the burden or the trial, don't let that get so loud that it overtakes your worship, that it overtakes your thankfulness unto God. But look unto God and say, God, I'm going to continue serving you. I'm going to continue going on for you because I know you're able to shut the lion's mouth. Some of you may have lines of your future. I've told y'all before that I'm the worry ward of our house. My wife, she takes life day by day and just whatever. She says good. I can remember one time when we were young married. I hadn't had a new pair of coveralls to go hunting with in a long time. Mine were striking me about right here. They were wore slap out. And we were up at Harmon's, and I went in and I found me a pair. They were $58, best I can recall. And I said, I need a new pair of coveralls. And all of them said, well, get them. Well, she handles most of the finances in our house. You know, so I let her take care of that while she's at home. We get out to the car, and I watch her do the checkbook. And when she gets done with that $58 deduction, I think there was like $5 left in our check account. And my wife's just like, we got $5. And I'm like, we got $5. Completely different. I'm the worry wart. I jumped up to take my coveralls back, and all of them said, no, you're not. Sit down. It's going to be okay. It'll be just fine. Anyway, it's just fine. I'm still wearing those same coveralls today when I go hunting. That's how thrifty I am. But I'm the worry wart. Some of us are dealing with lines from our past. Some of us are dealing with lines from our present day. And then there's some of us that we have some future lines. We have lines of worry, lines of doubt, of uncertainty, and of, I just don't have control of this. My wife also tells me that I'm a control freak. I didn't believe her, but the more and more I analyze my life, I think maybe I am. I won't let her drive anywhere. I've got to always be driving. Anyway, I won't go through all my... I'm not a control freak, amen? Let's just stay with that. But there's times in my life when I don't have control of a situation, and it absolutely drives me nuts if I don't have control. It absolutely drives me insane if I can't fix it. If my wife comes to me and says, I want the moon, I start trying to figure out how to give her the moon. And when I can't do that, when I can't fix it, when I can't make it happen just like that, then I start feeling like I'm not in control, and I start panicking. And some of you maybe here this morning, maybe you've got worry of things that's going to happen in the future. Maybe you've got doubt, uncertainty, or just a feeling of a lack of control. But the God that can handle our past lines, the God that can handle our present lines, if you will trust him, he'll handle your future also. He'll handle. You know what? Here's the thing that I got to remember. I believe it was Alan that said it in Sunday school this morning. He was the one that said that we're just passing through, that this world is not our home. Yeah, I steal lines from him from time to time for the sermon. But what I have to remember is no matter what happens here, this is not my eternal home. My eternal home is over yonder. And no matter what happens, my eternity is taken care of. I settled that at the age of 7 by getting on my knees and asking Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins and to come into my heart. My future is taken care of. Don't let the lines of your future. I know in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the den of lions. Hey, I don't know really what happened with Daniel that night. I don't know if he stood over in the corner and watched those lions and said, whew, this ain't good. I don't know if he piled up on them and used them for a pillow. I don't know. He may have got down there and rode him around like a horse for all I know. I don't know what happened in that den of lions. I really firmly believe that Daniel wasn't afraid. I believe that he knew that God had the situation handled. But I'm afraid a lot of times in my den of lions that the lion's roar gets so loud. And me knowing that this can destroy me, I believe I let fear overtake me. I believe that I let worry overtake me. I let my past overtake me and the feelings of regret when I know that I serve a God that is able, completely able, to send an angel and shut the mouth of the lions. Let's continue reading for just a moment. I want to read verse number 26, verse number 27. Look, we're going to do some running around right here in just a second, and I'm sorry, it's just the way it's got to be. But choir, come on. I want y'all to sing Jesus Rescues Me here in just a minute. We're going to give an invitation with that. And I know y'all going to have to run up here now and then run back to your seat to get your billfold to give for the building fund. That's all right. I'm going to get y'all running around church one way or the other. Here we go. But let's back up to verse number 24. The Bible says, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them in the den of lions. Them, their children, their wives, and the lions had mastery of them, and break their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. This shows that it wasn't that the lions were sick. It wasn't that the lions wasn't hungry. Those lions devoured. The next meal that come in, the Bible says that they ate it up before it ever hit the bottom. So it was God that took care of Daniel, and it'll be God that takes care of us. We can try a lot of things that this world has. You know, you can try, if you have an addiction in your life, you can try all the help that the world can give you. But can I tell you that your real help is in Jesus Christ? Your real help is in giving it to Him. I can try to quit doing the sin that's in my life. I can say, I'm not going to do this. But until I quit saying I and I give it to God, there's not going to be a whole lot of mastery over that in my life. Verse number 25, then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Verse number 26, I make a decree. I'm going to make a new rule, King Darius said, that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Listen to this. For He is the living God. He is the living God and steadfast forever. That don't say He's steadfast in Daniel's day. It don't say that He's steadfast in the Old Testament. It don't say that He's steadfast in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John up through the end of the Bible. But what it says is He is steadfast forever. The living God that Daniel was serving, the living God that delivered Daniel, is the same living God that we're serving this morning. We don't understand that. Sometimes I think it don't even hit us in the head that the God that shut the mouth of the lions in the den of lions with Daniel is the same God that's going to shut the mouth of the lions in your life. He is steadfast forever, and His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and His dominion shall be even unto the end. Listen right here. He delivereth and rescueth. He delivereth and rescueth, and He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. This morning, I don't know your situation. I know that sometimes lines get loud in my life. And I hear the lines a lot louder than I hear that still small voice. You might have lines from your past that are just loud in your life this morning. You may have lines of a present problem that are loud in your life this morning. You may have lines from your future that are screaming in your ear. Well, I want you to know that the God that we serve is able to deliver us from the lions.